question.
Quick answer, hopefully.
Do you hold grudges?
I really try not to. So I really do. So you do. No, like, I don't. No. No.
Okay, why did it take you a second? What does holding a grudge to you mean then? Define it for you.
Like not letting something go. Being like purposely holding on to pettiness or whatever the issue may be. I don't think that I do that. I just think I take for whatever it may be and be like, well, it is what it is. And I'll just move past. Like, I don't hate you. I'm not disgusted with you or nothing like that. But I don't have to be friends with you. You know, it's nothing like that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm the same way. The main reason
I know where to place you from here on out.
I think that's how people should have that attitude. It doesn't benefit me to hold a grudge. I just know how to act accordingly with you. This conversation came up because I think Melissa had asked Sarah about does she hold grudges? And Sarah was like, yeah. And I was like, why? Blah, blah.
Why?
And she ended up.
I feel like it takes so much more energy from you.
And she tried to ask, she asked me, she only thing she asked me, she just assumed like what I, because I told her I don't, that I didn't have anything to hold a grudge for. And I got into defense mode and I didn't like it because it feels like we were throwing a pity party. But I was like, no, I've been through, you know, relationships, jobs, family, friends, like things have happened to me. I just don't understand why I would hold on to it. I think I'm more of a, I forgive, but I don't forget. And more, it's, yeah. It's not even me forgiving that person. It's me forgiving myself for making that mistake and then moving on. So, yeah.
Is that something you learned as you got older? Or do you think you've always kind of been that way?
No, I think I got older. Because I used to be petty. Like, I would go out my way, make sure people see me doing things and stuff. Like now I don't care about any of that. And when I was young, yeah. When I was young, like, and I got off on making, like.
You know.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say, even when I was younger, I feel like I didn't try to go out my way to be petty. I feel like I actually did it when I got a little bit older. And not like 35-year-old, like not like now, but more maybe like. 27 type, like
that,
maybe I just
that was your awakening. What happened at 27? You was like, yo,
I don't know. It was just like, and I don't even think I was intentional. I just think maybe it was something that rubbed off on me around the people that I hung with. Maybe like you would be petty as a crew. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
And then it was like, Once I got a little bit older, I'm like, that was just, and I was confronted with this situation. I remember being like, you know what? Honestly, I was just being a bitch. Like, that's just genuinely what it is. I really don't have no problems with you. I was just being a bitch and having to get out of that. What I've recently learned is that I learned that someone has a grudge towards me currently.
All right, before you go further, is the grudge they have towards you right now for something recent or something that happened some years ago?
Something in the past.
Okay. All right.
Something in the past. And my problem with said grudge is we have discussed it. We had plenty of conversations. I heard your point of view. I apologize for my wrongdoings. I told you where I came from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we've been okay, or at least I thought we had been okay from that point. And then to know that that still holds a place on you, and to the point that you got to bring it up. You know, it's one, like I said, it's one thing to be like, this person did whatever, and I know that, and if I'm going to continue to be cool with you or friends with you or kick with you, whatever the case may be, you're going to have to let some shit go.
Yeah, because at that point,
you still want to kick it and then still have a grudge. That doesn't make sense to me.
I have this, like, I try not to, I'm not perfect at this, a flaw, like I'm not bad in 1,000, trying not to argue with women that I'm not in a relationship with when I was single, because I'm like, what are we fighting about? What are we not because when you're in a relationship, you're arguing, there's some past issues, there's some current issues, but you're fighting to keep the relationship going. But right. When y'all single and y'all just talking, I'm like, we are doing too much fighting. We not fucking each other. We are just like, and I feel the same way in the situation you're laying. I'm like, at one point, yeah, I'm like, we, either you, her, or him, whatever, has to come to the conclusion, like, are we going to be friends? If not, our lives will be okay if we're not friends anymore. It is, I promise y'all, we'll be fine. You know, we still have the good times we had, but we don't need, if it's going to be like this going forward, then yeah.
To me, at this point, if you don't openly, and if you don't come to me and tell me we got beef, baby, only you got beef, because I'm not in it. I don't know what, I'm not, this, you're not going to put this on me. It's not going to dwell on my spirit. If it's bothering you that bad and you can't say nothing, that's a personal thing you're going to have to deal with you and yourself. I'm out of it.
I think.
I don't have time for one-sided beefs.
It's because, and we learned this so young, but we do this from time to time, if not all the time for some people, it's assumptions. And I think when you have those one-sided beefs, that person is thinking, they're assuming, oh, she know what she doing.
You know. She'll
know I don't like her, and she's still up here kiki-kiing in my face and knowing we... No, I don't. Like, seriously.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Do not assume.
I'm not a mad reader, nor that I'm going to assume that, you know, you got a problem with something. Because just because you took something one way does not mean that's how I took it or how I meant for it to come across. So if you don't open your mouth and speak your mind, I don't know shit. And that's how I'm going to go through life. I don't know what's happening.
I wonder if it comes down to so many of us are afraid of confrontation. So we like the silent confrontation of like, I don't fuck with you, but I can't tell you straight up. Like, if we fix these things or if not, we can go our separate ways. So they just stay sizzling, but the beef stays boiling. Why are we so afraid of confrontation?
Like, my problem about confrontation is people seem to never believe you anyway. Like, so say you have like, some type of,
go ahead.
Some type of disagreement, and you be like, "Dang, I made you? I'm so sorry. I didn't know that wasn't my intention. I apologize for making you feel that way." And then they'd be like, "I don't think it's genuine." Then, bitch, what the fuck is you searching for? Like, if I'm telling you this is what, let me tell you something. If I don't want to apologize to you, I'm not. If I don't think I'm wrong, I'm not giving you that.
I think it's back to assumptions, but you're them not believing you. Is ego-driven man asking ex-girlfriend, is he better than current boyfriend? He not believing whatever answer she give him. If she was like, no, you better. Oh, you saying that because I'm on the phone. Nah, he better. Yeah. Oh, you saying that because you with the nigga. Why you ask? You didn't believe in anything this person
saying.
You don't
believe anything I say anyway.
What's that? We can get deep. What is that about? We used to have this thing. Don't ask no questions. Won't be no answers. Like, don't play no games. Won't be no. We used to have these little sayings, but why do people ask questions?
They don't want the answer.
They don't like the answer they get. Almost like you can't have that forward logical thinking. And today in the group, we was doing a lot of true crime. There was one true crime where this dude allegedly murdered his family, then tried to get himself shot and killed for like some insurance fraud. And he's a lawyer, blah, blah, blah. And I just was like, you're a lawyer. You couldn't think what, like, you have the insight. You either, depending on what law you do, does not matter. You have lawyer friends who were like, yeah, this guy thought he was going to get away with murder. This woman thought she was going to get away with embezzlement. And you still thought that you could do what you do. Like, what is that? Why do we only can think so far ahead? Like, it's so sad.
I don't know.
It's amazing that we've been on this planet as long as we have with that logic of thinking. There are people. So what I'm saying is, if I ask you a question, I got to think to myself, and this is why we've talked about this, where I'm like, closure means nothing to me, because I'm like, I know exactly. I played out what you could say, and then I had to play out how I would feel if you said it. And if none of them, like, make me feel happy, I'm like, why do I care about any of this situation?
I had a situation and it sat there. It just sat on me. And I was like, I really want to know something. But I was too scared to ask the question because I didn't want to hear the outcome. Because I didn't want to hear if it wasn't what I wanted to hear. You know what I'm saying? And so I had a friend that was like, no, you should be like head on and confront and ask the question. I said, nah, I would rather just not know. That was, and I was being honest. I would rather not know, because if I knew and it wasn't what I really wanted to hear, it was just going to be heartbreaking to me. So I would rather
I don't even know if I know. Ever had a situation like where I would, something I want to know, but if I, but if it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, I'd be devastated. I don't think I've had any, I don't know. I was trying to think in my whole life, is there any question I wanted to ask anybody or any confrontation I wanted? And I'm like, no, if it don't go this way, then fuck it. No, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't think I could. To this day, I still haven't asked this person this question, but I don't think that I could handle the answer to the question. And which so is, I'm like, I would just live in my fairy tale world.
What's the worst could happen though? Even though you, what like, what's the worst this person can do?
I mean, the all they can do is say no or whatever the case is. But I don't want to hit it, so therefore I'm not gonna ask. It's not a no I want to hear. So I'm not going to set myself up for the okie doke.
So you would rather live in uncertainty than die in a no. Or you should die. You really die in uncertainty than live in this no. Live with a no. I should, that's the way it should be. You're dying with the uncertainty. A slow death of uncertainty. All right. That's cool.
In this particular situation, yep.
Let me ask you this then. This was not on the list. Mm-hmm. Do you think you are a regret or a one that got away? Now, a regret. Now, let me before you answer the question. A regret in this, in my question is, I didn't take the chance. One that got away is I fucked up. So, which one do you think you more of? Or do you think you're a little bit, or you could actually like, no, that one is, he's mad he didn't take the chance. This one is mad that he fucked up. Like, do you know?
I think for one, I was the one who got away.
Okay. Didn't have you, that's uncertainty, but still, you put a question mark on there.
No, well, I'm saying it because those with your word, his words verbatim.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but I also feel like, you know, I think that changes in people's life. Like, I feel like at one point that is probably how you really felt. Then that's the one who got away. And I think in a few years, depending on how your life went, you could have been like, you know what? I really did enjoy what we have, but I'm happy where I'm at. And I don't, you know, it's not one of those feelings out of regret or whatever. I'm actually not very, no, I'm going to say maybe a regret with another one. After having conversation and being like, I was young and dumb and did some dumb shit. And here we are, not where we probably could have been, type of thing. Okay. But you know me, I don't keep too many relationships. So,
well, see, I wouldn't even think of relationships. It could have been just situationships that went awry.
Situationships.
Then like,
I'm trying to think. Who else was I like? I could have probably seen something with. I think I had another regret.
Like a guy who regrets you. Not you didn't go into. Like, do you have regrets and one that got away?
I have one of each.
I only think I have one that got away. I don't think I have any like, oh, I didn't give her a chance. I think I'm looking back at my life. I'm like, I think I gave everybody a chance, but okay. You said you got one that got away or you got one regret?
I have one of each.
Oh, okay. You got the steak and the chicken at the wedding. Like you got to pick one. You can't. All right. You're taking both. All right. We can get into our podcast this week. I guess some happy Hispanic.
John be so random with these topics, y'all.
Yo, this is how my brain be working this week. Like certain times, I'm like, oh, I was like, oh, should you know?
Today I decided to work.
Yeah, I mean, yo, I should just like write down a bunch of my questions. I remember that one. I wish I knew the number off the top of my head. That one, it was like a month where I wasn't doing no social media, and I was coming to the podcast with all sorts of questions that I was going through my little head. Oh man, I had a scare real quick. I came home a couple of days ago, as one does, changed clothes, threw my pants on the floor, and then stepped on said pants and heard a crack.
Oh, and knew
that I had my phone and my keys, and I'm like, so I was like,
yo, what crack?
This was wild. So I sat down, I heard like a little bit of a crack, and I was like, sat down, tried to eat my dinner. I was like, let me check my phone. And then I have a black wallpaper, and it was already night mode, so everything was black, and I was like, is there a crack or not? So I had to open up like google.com because it's white, and I'm like,
right,
there's a little hairline fracture, and it wasn't bad. And then I thought to myself, like, is it the screen protector or the screen?
Because that's the thing.
So then I was trying to peel off the screen protector, and it took a second. And then I got off, and I was like, oh, it was only the screen protector. I was like, because I thought, you know, the new phones just got announced. I was like, look at it. I was right on time.
Yes, which I totally missed that announcement. Was it good?
Apple in it. Yeah, a little better camera, a little better battery. It wasn't nothing revolutionary.
Nothing special.
Nah, yeah. It was a combination of new phones got announced, got the final email, like, yo, we closed out your loan. Your phone is your phone. I'm like, all right, cool. And I was like, oh, this would have been the moment where I broke my phone. I was like,
that was me, my last phone. I had just finished paying that phone off. Not a month later, shit was broke. I wanted to cry. So I finished paying off this phone, and so far, so good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold. Like, so, I was like, oh, they added like the 120 hertz. I knew they did do that part, but I was like, let me just wait a little long. I was like, I like holding on to a phone for a year where I'm not paying anything. I'm just like,
man, for real, relaxing. At least.
So nothing too major. Stopped by my dad's yesterday because it was his birthday.
Happy birthday, pops.
Yeah, saw my niece. She was wilding. Yo, she extra, man. She's really wilding. She just extra for no reason. Like her and my brother go back.
What makes her extra?
She like to act. she is so good at it that I could really see like. If she took it seriously, I can't predict the future because you got to think about it. When when I had my goddaughter in like 2006, 2007, I couldn't like trying to predict what she could become. And then now where we're at when she's like 17, you're thinking to myself, like, there was no TikTok, no Snapchat, no Instagram, no YouTube. Well, yeah. YouTube was barely like to even think that that's a route. So I was like, listen, if she stay on her little actress thing, being funny, doing these little skits, she might flip it into something. You know what I think, though? And I don't know if you've seen this, because you deal with girls older. So I don't know how many younger kids you deal with. But I remember my my friend's kids and my guy kids and obviously my daughter, my niece now, that some of them have this energy. Like she has it. My friend's kid, Sydney, she has this spark of life. And I remember all of us saying, like, I hope she keeps it. Because you know how life can be. And you're like, yo, she is so positive and so fun-loving. And you're just like, oh, I hope, like, high school doesn't ruin her or, like, just relationships start happening. And you're like, yo, when you were a kid, yeah, I ain't a kid no more. Fuck all that bullshit. Like, oh, that's what I'd be hoping.
Yeah.
But that reminds me. How much of your old personality is still there? Like if somebody met you in grade school now, could they be like, oh snap, you still like the same? Or they'd be like, oh, you changed so much.
I wonder that.
I just feel like, could I hang out with my grade school friends? And they just like, yeah, I would like to hang out with some people from that far back because they're going to be able to unlock memories I do not remember. They're just going to be like, yo, remember that one day? I'm like, I have no idea.
But you know, my closest friends are from grammar school.
Oh, yeah. So you kind of
cheat. So it's kind of like, I would have to like really talk to somebody I don't talk to. However, I am friends with a few of them people on like Facebook. And sometimes when I see them, I'm like, hey, you are not who I thought you was going to grow up to be. And that's not shade. It just be like, you are something else.
Yeah, that always sounds good.
Like, I think one person I went to grade school with is, like, in jail. For, like, murder or something stupid.
Nah, that's,
and it's like, I never saw that coming. What happened in life that made you go down this path?
Then there'll be some where you be like, yo, what happened to old dude? Or he in or out of jail. You're like, yeah, I could have seen that. Because he was kind of wilding. Did you catch any of the, this is we need to have music for this. This is our annual old folks talk about the VMAs. Did you catch any of the, Yo, I was trying to be efficient, I would say, and watch it on YouTube, right? And I wanted, I had the task of like, let me see everybody. And I started with Olivia Rodrigo, and I was like, oh, I've heard this, you know, on podcast. I know this little song. I think it's all good for you. And then I was like, oh, let me see Ed Sheeran and blah, blah. Then I was like, yo, let me just do the people we going to talk about, because I like, I don't have this time. So I went to go see Lotto's, and it was super short.
Oh, that was the performance I meant to go look at. I forgot. I didn't even know she was on there until somebody told me yesterday.
Yeah, so she debuted her song.
Y'all know I love me some Lotto.
She debuted her song Energy, and it was really short. And I pulled up Wikipedia, and it was like, yo, she did two or three songs, and I'm like, okay.
They said she did, like, you know how BET had an outside concert?
That's what happened.
So supposedly that's what she did, because I didn't even know she was performing, period.
Yeah, so YouTube, they put the clip up. And then if you go to, I recorded the VMAs, and I went to it, and I was like, oh, it's still the little 1 minute, and it fades away, and she keeps performing during the commercial break, so you don't get to see that. The new song sounded good. I saw Alicia Keys, a Sway Lee. Do La La, then Alicia Keys did another rendition of Empire State of Mind. Normani's Wild Side.
Living off a song.
Yeah, I saw Normani's Wild Side. I know.
Tribute to Janet. What was that?
So the first part was cool. It gave me some Aaliyah vibes. She had the silvery pants, blah, blah. But the everybody's talking about the lap dance she gave to Tiana, and I was like, it wouldn't even need it. It wasn't.
That was Tiana Taylor?
Yes, that's who was strapped up, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even pay attention to who she had up there. But I was like, how did we get to the Janet Jackson tribute? Because that's all that reminded me of.
Yeah, I remember specifically watching that concert on HBO. She was in Hawaii, yeah. And I was like, that guy's gay. That's all I remember saying, like, this guy, because if you ever see the clip, the way this man is wilding out, and my little young self was like, what the hell is going on? Why is he... I saw St. John. What else? Oh, and I saw the Busta Rhymes medley. And I saw Chloe too. I think those are the ones. And Chloe was cool, but I mean, I think the song.
Okay, all right. Thank you, because I was like, all right, now I am a Chloe fan. I do enjoy sis. However, this performance was just okay. Y'all not gonna tell me that it was the bomb.com. Was it bad? No. But was it fantastic? Like everybody trying to make it sound? No. It was okay. I was a bit confused. I had missed the message in the video. In the performance.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was like,
she kind of.
I feel like you decided that I want to be sexy, and now you just like
Watching the video, and this year she has been trying her best to break this quote unquote little girl image, and I'm like, and I remember a couple of years ago. We were talking about Haley and Chloe, and I brought them up in comparison to Lori Harvey. And I said, they're the same age, but Lori Harvey gives off a grown woman vibe where they had the baby faces. And I'm like, and I get you can't control your face. I mean, you could fuck up your face, but I think all three of them are pretty young ladies. So I wouldn't, like, don't touch your face.
Lori Harvey is older than them, though, ain't she?
By a year. She's around the same
age. Chloe and them like 21.
No, remember, we talked about Lori turning 21. And that's when I brought up how close to age she was to them. So Lori Harvey is 24, right? So yes. Chloe and Haley age is, let me see. I got it right here.
23.
Yeah, I told you about 1 year. And I was like, that's why I was like, yo, but there's a difference between the way those women look. The women look where you would think, you know, Lori, depending on how she can dress, probably could pull off a late 20s, early 30s where they have those baby faces.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Chloe. I do. I really do. I feel it. I like her video. I actually do like her video, but I think because it's very Beyonce-esque. Of a video.
Yeah.
The imagery of it, the choreography, the wardrobe, Miss Tina signing off in the video, like,
yeah, it's very
Beyonce-esque for it. But the performance, first and foremost, shout out for her singing live, because she sang.
Yeah, okay. Because I don't think, because Doja hosted, but she also performed, I saw her performance. I don't know about what she was doing.
See her performance.
What she did, been like this, but when she did You Right, I was like, I don't think she's, this might be lip syncing, but yeah, shout out to her for actually using her vocals.
Yeah, but the performance itself, the concert performance, it was just okay to me. I also feel like I enjoyed Busta and Spliff, but it was okay to me.
It kind of came, listen, all right. I know they have to probably do some audio sweetening. And they, I should have pulled up this list because they did have some of the presenters.
And how did they have this big tribute performance and he didn't get the Vanguard Award?
I have no
That's
idea.
That's what I didn't understand.
Where are the
presenters? Actually, don't even think they had a Vanguard or they changed the name of it or something like that.
So
they over there wilding on MTV.
They brought Madonna opened the show. Then Jennifer Lopez presented.
With what?
Like she like welcome to the VMAs and anything blah blah. She didn't she performed. Okay. No.
I thought these are like a performance.
No, these are just the presenters. So Jennifer Lopez, Hailey Bieber, Cyndi Lauper. I think the one that threw me the most was Avril Lavigne, and they play. She's a skater. He's just a skateboarder. Like, she looks so different.
Yo, they showed a clip. I was like, who? That's not the same person.
Like the people I didn't know. I didn't know who the heck Madison Beer was. I didn't know Leslie Grace. I'm looking at this list.
People talk about the VMAs.
Yeah, but this was the thing that really threw me is he went into Scenario and then the crowd started cheering. I'm like, y'all don't know Scenario. I was just thinking Single Digits when Scenario came out. So like for y'all to be like, yay! I'm like,
that's my biggest issue when it comes to award shows is those who you pick to be in the audience.
It's always
or in that
young.
Little pit.
Yes.
They're never young enough for the people that's performing, real talk. More times than not, they just be out there like, they don't know. And the songs they do know, especially that particular crowd, only knew because of TikTok.
Yes. Yeah. Because it was one, I was like, oh, you guys probably know, oh, look at me, oh, touch it. I was like, oh, yeah, you guys would know touch it. Like that song been everywhere. It's gonna be like he went into Andy Up remix. I'm like, you guys do not know Andy Up.
Andy Up, yeah. But I also think that is just a VMA award. Like, oh, that's beautiful. You gave a tribute to Busta. Put that tribute on the BET Awards,
yo.
Because I feel like no matter what the age, the way the stage and everything set up is BET Award is completely different from VMAs and all the black people over there is gonna know these songs.
Yeah, I did like the set, because they were like outside, inside, blah, blah. But there's one part of the set, and I think this happens on our bus, where you see the Moon Man, he's like huge. I was like, oh, that looked kind of dope. But I wish there were screens. And when he went into Pass the Cavassier, they played the VMA, the early one he did on the screens in the background. So you can see like this is him 10, 15 years ago. I have no idea when Pascal, I just remember they was on those pogo sticks doing flips, and I was like, "This looks
was
amazing."
Was that VMAs or BET?
That was VMAs.
Okay.
Yeah, with Puff and them.
Yeah.
All right, so
let's. And then no shade. I mean, because I know him older, but your legendary verse with the every time I get it in, and you couldn't even do your own verse, sir. Yeah. I have a problem.
Yeah.
I have a problem. You were a second or five behind. Okay.
Yo,
like,
but like,
you can't
yo,
save your energy.
But we listen, I completely
shout
agree.
Out to Spliff. He got to be the biggest, bestest hype man ever.
Oh, yeah. Spliff is up there. I will agree wholeheartedly on the breath control and get it winded. But we're not going to act like his knees didn't give out. His knees were in there for him.
His knees gave out?
No, they did it. Like, I was just saying, like,
I didn't see that.
When it was like, get low, Bus.
He's down now.
I was like,
And then you also forget how many hits Busta got.
That's why I'm...
But I need that same tribute over on the BET Awards. I'm sorry.
I do too. And...
Or Hip Hop Awards or something.
We're getting into verses right now. What is taking so long to get the Busta Rhymes verses going? Because like we...
Who's ever going up against?
Everybody just say Missy. It's just a party. Let's just do party songs. Let's do it. When Missy Slow It Down, with Pussy Don't Fail Me Now, he got a joint with Mariah. He got a joint with Janet Jackson. I feel like they mesh so well that it won't be a clash like Fat Joe and Ja Rule. I felt those styles were clashing too much, especially when Fat Joe would play some hard shit and then they'd be like, every thug needs a lay. I'm like, I know what
it was funny to me because it's not like Ja don't have like hip hop records. It's just those weren't your biggest hits. Yes. And we're trying to win over the crowd. And if you're being realistic, most of Ja's biggest hits was with female features. And Fat Joe, maybe because I'm not in New York or what, but I was like, can we play Ja Rule again? Like, can we hurry this up to a lot of the songs that Fat Joe had?
Yeah,
I was looking for some Charlie Baltimore. Now, if he'd have brought out Charlie, because you brought out Vita, if you would have brought out Charlie,
that would have been
it would have been it. It would have been it for me.
All right.
And she had to have the red hair.
Oh, of course. What did you think about Fat Joe being so loose with the bitch word?
So, okay. I was like, I think I was missing some of it because we were like not really into Fat Joe's. So I think when Ja Rule was when he stopped performing, we was kind of in conversation.
Okay.
So I wasn't hearing too much of the things that Joe was saying because the next day people was like, he was apologizing to Lil Mo and for calling them like crackheads or some shit like that. And I was like, what did I miss?
It's at the very beginning too. Like he comes back to it, but at the very beginning, he's like, them dusty bitches, where you go, you went to the crack house to find them, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what is this dude? Why is he getting so loose with this word? So he did a BS apology. He apologized and said, if I disrespected, like either apologize or not.
But he was specifically calling them.
He said, I seen your bitches backstage. He was referring to whoever, because they haven't came out yet. So, they did say he apologized to them personally. And then Vita was like, I was wondering what he was apologizing for. So I was like, so why would you apologize to them and then put if I disrespect it? And then Remy jumped in. It was like, you know, he ain't like that, blah, blah. And I'm like, but.
And Vita was like, listen, don't tell me how I'm supposed to feel. Fuck?
Like, stop.
Mind your business.
Listen, Remy, I understand Fat Joe is your guy. He put you on. But let Ja Rule have called you a bitch. Papoose would have hopped out there so quickly. Stop acting like that. Papoose would have been out there quick as hell.
Mind your business, okay?
Ja Rule was playing the Bow Wow / Jadakiss. I'm going to talk and I'm going to perform the hell out of these songs. It kind of dragged. It was no disrespect to Fat Joe. You should have played the R. Kelly song before you brought the Nelly song out. Cause I'm like, forgot about
that. Both of y'all got an R. Kelly song now. I don't know.
That's right.
I mean, I know why y'all didn't play it, but I would have been playing it. I ain't gonna hold you.
Listen,
yeah, and that's
smooth as fuck. Though, yeah, it's still operatic.
Yes,
how he raises. I can see the video. Hype Williams did it. It's all white.
Movie stars, jewels, and all.
Listen, here's the thing. Listen, this is what you
I
do.
Wonder,
you bring somebody else to sing it.
Do you still want?
Oh, fam. I'm not jamming. I got to put that down because I did write down some songs that they left on the floor. The fact that Fat Joe didn't play, and you won't know it, but. It's called Pride and Joy, and it features Kanye West. Smooth ass song. I'm always upset that Ja Rule doesn't play the song off the Light It Up soundtrack, which is How Many Niggas Would Have Robbed For Me? But play that. And he has a song with Memphis Bleek called Murders for Life. Because if you know you got all your girl songs in the back tuck, then just go with your hard stuff up front and then kill them with the
with the stuff. Listen. I was like, it ain't like he ain't got stuff. He can definitely drop some of his little hard stuff that he had, but you gonna wrap it up in the end with all these songs. And the one song with Lil Mo, you had to sing that whole song. I was mad about that.
Yo,
I cry, you cry.
Yo, thank you for reminding me.
Together,
there were some flags on the play. The fact that Fat Joe played a Big Pun song and said, "I executive produce, so I should be able to play." With that logic, then Dame Dash can be in a Versus because he executive produced all those Rockefeller records. Can he just start playing songs like that? Don't make any sense. Or then Nelly did Hotter Here. I was like,
I was confusion.
Listen, I like out of here, but I'm like, yo, what are we doing? Is this a, what?
Can we did he write on there? Did he? I'm confused.
He just broke it off.
Like, I felt like Nelly was just like, hey, yo, find a way to get me there in the same building with Ashanti. Because.
All right. First off, Ashanti won the verses. Second off, I wasn't ready for the Nelly hugs situation. And yo, what made it even worse was Ashanti speaking afterwards. Did you see that? She was like, I haven't spoke to this man since we broke up 6 years ago. I like this energy from Ashanti.
I did not see this.
She said, I had no idea. I had no idea he was going to be there. I haven't seen him or spoken to him since we broke up. I don't know if it's been 6 years or something. So I didn't know what to expect. I saw him walking. I seen him move you out the way, Joe. I didn't know what to expect.
And then Joe's over there. You better go get your girl. Quit playing.
Listen, I love this. She said, listen, I'm a positive person. I'm very private. I wish him the best and all that good stuff. It's a lot of stuff that happened. A lot of stuff unresolved. A lot of gray area. A lot of confusion. That's all I'm saying. A lot of stuff happened. They hate to hear that part, right? They want to hear what's that old thing. They don't want to hear about all that stuff that happened in between. Don't worry. I ain't going to tell you. And then Ja Rule was like, he's single. She's like, I'm not. So we ain't getting back together.
Where was this?
Where did all this happen at? Additionally, however, the verses, where did I get this? After the event, Ashanti explained her reaction to seeing Nelly during a chat with Fat Joe, Ja Rule, and Remy Ma.
Okay.
Maybe on IG. But yeah, he did really went over there, like, where my hug at? I was like...
Toxic and ass man.
Nelly says, I didn't want no uncomfortable feelings. But now, that's the thing, too. He didn't try to find Ashanti or ask for a hug when he was with Miss Jackson. Now that he broken up, he's like, yo, I can hug you finally. Oh, man.
But all in all, I enjoyed it. That's probably because I fucked with the Ja Rule era.
R-U-L-E.
I'm still mad at people not knowing that he spelled his name right there. I don't care. What's my motherfucking name? Not are you ready? How does that even make sense?
Are you ready? yo, shout out to Ja Rule for being in staying in shape too. Him and Nelly, they are not gonna lose their muscles.
Ja looked nice. He done took off his shirt and stayed in a couple of push-ups backstage. I see you.
He had to go do a party pump real quick.
Yeah.
Are you ready to give us this clickbait breakdown?
Sure. You got your wiki up. It's been a while.
Oh,
I know. So, clickbait
miniseries. All right.
Spoiler now. I want to say it was about eight episodes.
Yes, it is.
Each episode is based around a specific character. I don't remember none of these characters' names, so you might have to help with that.
All right. Go ahead.
Pia was the sister.
Yeah, the younger sister of Nick.
Nick, that's the brother. Okay. Nick and Pia gets into an argument on the first episode at the dinner celebration for their mother. You don't really know what the argument is about that first episode. You kind of get to know it as the episodes go on, okay? Anywho, they kicked her ass up out this place because she was being disruptive. She went out, tried to get her a swipe left or right date, went to the bars, got drunk, whatever, whatever. She gets the next morning, she like a nurse at somebody's hospital of some sort. She gets to the hospital where she's treating one of her maybe favorite patients or one of her more common patients. This particular patient is like really good with the computers and stuff and the internet and the tech. And she was like, so what you gonna show me today? I guess he's always showing her stuff, right?
Okay.
So he's pulling up stuff and he's like, oh, let me show you what I found. He finds this clip of Nick, her brother. He didn't know this was her brother. He's like kidnapped. He's holding the sign that's like, I'm abusive to women and I killed a woman. And when this video gets to 5 million views, I'm going to die. So she's looking at this video like, what the fuck? This is my brother, you know. So she's in a panic, obviously. She runs off. She tries to call her brother. He does not answer the phone. She calls his wife. Can't remember her name. I want to say Grace, but I feel like that's somebody else's wife's name.
His wife's name is Sophia.
Sophia, you are right. So calls her, you know, calling around to his job, etc. Sophie. Okay. Trying to call around to the job, just run around to see if anybody has seen Nick. She goes, she meets up with the wife. She shows the video, although you're not supposed to continue to show this video because clearly it's going to get more views. So the wife is up in arms. People are like, I don't know what's going on. They're going to his job, etc., etc., etc. Nobody has seen this man. They go to the police. Okay. The police happens to be the person she had swiped left or right to the night before.
Oh.
How? Yeah. And so when she goes to the police and she sees his face, obviously, they're like, and they try to pretend as if they don't know each other because they really didn't know each other. Because she never ended up meeting up with him because she dropped her phone in the toilet. So she went home and put it in rice. And she could, you know, she never got back in contact with him. So anywho, that's pretty much the first episode. The second episode is based around the detective. So the detective is really trying to figure out where this man is, what happened, et cetera, et cetera. You also realize that him going this far is because he's also trying to get promoted at his job. He feel like he being like racially discriminated against because he's not white. I don't want to fuck up what he is. So that's why I'm like, but he's, you know, a person of whatever. Okay. Anywho, so he's assuming that he can't get this promotion because of that or whatever. So he's going through the whole investigation process. You finna say something?
No. I'm looking at I got the cast names right here, so I'm looking at that real quick.
Oh. So we're going through this whole process, and then again, you're meeting different people each episode, and these episodes are based around certain people. So then you meet another. So the way they start leading into this, so they're like, okay, how are we supposed to find Nick? Okay. They end up interviewing Sophie, and Sophie had an affair on Nick with a coworker, but they had called it off like 6 months prior or something. And she ends up telling Nick about it. Nick is distraught. They're thinking that, so maybe he was upset that he broke it off. So he killed her husband or kidnapped her husband, tried to get back with Sophie. This is the okay. affair dude.
Okay.
That was one point of view. Then this random chick, okay, from LA, because they live in like San Diego, is this Jessie? San Francisco. Oh, I forgot her name. Maybe
the one that claims to be his mistress, Nick's mistress.
Yes.
Okay, her name is Jessie.
She is at home. She sees this.
Clip her name is Emma.
Emma. Actress name yeah, that sound right.
Jessie Collins. Sorry.
Yeah, Emma sound right. So Emma is at home watching the news where they talking about this man who was being kidnapped and who's up for these amount of views. And she's like, that's my boyfriend. And she's telling her best friend, like, that's the dude I told you about. That's the dude who sent me the flowers. And I met him online and we talk all the time. And he came out to LA and we spent all this time together. This bitch is crazy. Okay. So she's like, I feel like I'm supposed to do something. And so she goes to Oakland. His hometown. She's in Oakland. LA. Oakland. There you go. She goes to Oakland to, I don't know what she thought she was going to do. I really don't. But she was like, let me go. She stands out in front of Sophie's house. Okay. She follows Sophie when Sophie was looking for her child because he ran off because he was mad. And was like, I'm your husband's mistress. We have a whole relationship.
It's me.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. Sophie like, bitch, the fuck is you talking about? You know, but it was like, this makes sense when you're saying my husband, I mean, he abuses women. So there, it's kind of like, who is this man? I don't even know who he is anymore. Come to find out, he's got, since they found, they was like, how did you meet? And she was like, we found him in this like dating site.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they pulls up his information and realized he got like 3-4 other dating sites.
Yeah, since learns that Nick had multiple online personas where he met mm-hmm. different women.
All under different names, right? But his picture, his info, the whole nine. So we learn about two other chicks that he had supposedly dated. One chick was like, I never met him. Nothing happened. Don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't think we met the third chick, if I don't remember. I think it was just like the third chick, but we never really got to meet this person or something like that. Anywho, come to find out, Nick's dead. He gets killed. Okay.
What is that? In this episode, like, oh, we're dead.
Oh no, it's somewhere in the middle of these.
Okay, okay. Because I'd like,
I can't give you chronological order. Sorry. Yeah,
you would do it good because you're going like, no, the next one's about the reporter. What happens to the reporter?
Oh yeah, the reporter trash. But the reporter is the reason why we knew about the other girlfriends. He was like doing his thing.
Okay.
He was also trying to get promoted at his job too. So him and his boyfriend was doing some extra investigating. And after he put two and two together, there was the third girl is the one who passed. So the third girl that we never got to meet is because she had died. So when it said, "I've killed a woman," was one of the signs that he posted. They were saying he killed this woman. So after doing a little further investigation, they realized that this woman committed suicide. And the reason she had committed, the last conversation she had with Nick was like, he was like, I don't give a fuck. Like he was trying to call it off with her, quote unquote.
Oh, okay.
And she had already had some type of mental illness or whatever. And so she killed herself. And the person who ultimately kidnapped Nick was the sister, that girl's brother.
So whose brother though?
The girl that killed herself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's episode 6, yeah. The brother.
Like, yeah, oh, okay, yeah. So the brother finds out about Nick. He's, you know, he get all the information, like he's going through his sister's stuff, trying to figure out what happened. Found out that she was on his dating site, that she had met this man, that she was all head over heels for. Went through the messages and realized that he was like, "I don't give a fuck about you, I'm over." At the same time that she had killed herself. So he's upset. He's blaming Nick, right? He goes, he searched for Nick. He finds Nick. He kidnapped Nick, him and his crazy ass friend. They kidnap Nick. Nick is confused as fuck. He does not know what you're talking about. "I don't have any online dating sites. I don't know this woman. What are you talking about?"
Wait, somebody was using this picture?
Listen, you want to talk about catfish to the extreme, okay?
Oh, man. So, yo, you know how mad I'm going to be in the afterlife if I got killed that way? Like, it's not even me. But go ahead.
Yeah. So they had kidnapped him and put him in like some truck or some shit, right? And the crazy friend, the two that kidnapped him, the crazy friend got out of the truck, and the brother was like, Nick was like, "Listen, I did not kill. I don't know her." Those pics, he was showing them the profile. He was like, "What you mean? This is your profile. This is you." He's like, "Yeah, I'm in my pictures, but I didn't post this stuff. And no particular pictures are like Photoshop. I can tell you the real pictures where this was taken."
Yeah, yeah.
So the brothers start believing Nick and is like, "Damn, I think I made a mistake." You know what I'm saying? So he's like, "But you didn't say this, and you was having an affair on your wife because she cheated and all this other stuff." And Nick started putting it together like, "Bruh, these things are true, but I never told anybody about this. Like, I only told one person, okay?" The brother, like, he believed him. He ended up pretty much letting him go. Okay. So it got to the 5 million views and everything because a crazy friend was going to kill him. And he was like, "Nah," end up letting him go. Nick ran off. Okay. Nick gone. He running, trying to find salvation. I don't know, whatever. It goes back to, I'm trying to think what happened in the middle of all of this. The kid, his son, the son thought something was up. He was kind of doing his own type of investigation. He had his own little chat thing going on with some person he met online. Yeah. Somebody was like, "You better look into that. Look at where your daddy at right now with this online dating shit. You need to make sure this person is real." He ends up meeting with the girl that he was chatting to, finds out that she's real, but she had some type of illness, so she stayed in the house all the time, but she was really good with computer stuff. So she was like, "Hey, we should reach out to the girls that he was talking to on the side and see what's up." That's how they end up finding out that them girls had never met him in real life. They had only chatted with him. Oh,
okay.
So the kid come back, he tell the parents, they trying to tell the detectives, you know, everybody's trying to put everything together, okay? I'm trying to think. He had a partner at work, which was like a coach or another therapist guy. And things started looking like maybe it was him who was using Nick's identity.
Yeah.
His pics, because, you know, I work with you, we close, you know what I'm saying? Plus it was something going on between him and one of the girls, at least they thought it was. And they was like, he was trying to get her up out the program because she was going to tell on him. So it just started looking real fishy. Okay. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anybody before I tell you who the hell the actual person was. That shit pissed me off.
Yeah, I see the name, but I'm trying to. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I covered everything, right? Yeah, that you see on the little wiki.
Yeah.
Last episode or two. This is the bullshit right here. So in fact, it rewinds to the beginning. So imagine you, Nick had just started working at this college as the like physical therapist man. And in the beginning, you introduce him to the staff, you know, introduce him to the coaching staff, you introduce him to that administration staff, you introduce him to the girls on the team. So he's meeting all the people. Hey, how you doing? Hey, nice to meet you. And you build in some type of bond, friendship, camaraderie with these people, right?
Yeah.
So it's this one older lady who kind of handles everything like she the queen bee around the bitch. But like in your old, like my grandma auntie kind of way, like this sweet lady, she just doing her best. She got the technique, you know. So he's like, I'm not even good with all this stuff, like syncing my phone to the computer and all this. And she was like, don't worry about it. I got you. So she hooking it all up for him, blah, blah, blah. So one day he at work, he a little distraught. This is when he found out that his wife cheated. And she was like, is everything okay? What's wrong? And he's like, man, I just found out my wife was having an affair. I don't even know how to feel about it. Blah, blah, blah. Right?
Yeah.
She was like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. She goes home. Her and her husband is, I guess she's not getting that love and attention and affection that she felt like she deserved at home. And so, sorry, rewind for a second. She's seen something about this online dating thing. And she was like, well, I'm going to get into it. She was doing it for like kicks and giggles just to have somebody to flirt with.
Okay.
But instead of, here's the part that I didn't understand. Instead of picking a woman to be like a cat, like being some other version of yourself and talking to men, she took Nick's photos and was talking to women. So the whole time, these fake profiles and these dates and conferences is all her under Nick's profile talking to these random women.
Yeah, okay? this woman is Dawn and her husband is Ed, right? Okay.
Yes. So after having such affairs and sexting going on, her husband must have had some bomb ass sex one night. Okay. She's like, this is great. It has rekindled our relationship, et cetera, et cetera. So the husband's like, oh, I'm finna go get some water. Like after they do their thing, I'm finna go get some water. You want some water? Yes, baby. Absolutely. So he gets out the bed, but it's taking him a little bit longer to come to the room. So she gets up and she's like, what's going on? She's searching the house. She realized that he's in her like office.
Okay.
Go in there and he's on the computer like, what the fuck is all of this? Because he was hearing like alerts or something.
Okay.
What is all of this? And she was like, oh my God. And he was like, are you pretending to be your coworker on these? What are you doing? Et cetera, et cetera. And so she's like, no, I'm so sorry. I'll stop. So she goes, and then this is how the girl ended up killing herself. Because she goes into it. She's so desperate to keep her husband that she's calling off all these relationships. So the one girl who's mentally unstable, who thinking she found the one, and you like, girl, I ain't got time for this shit. Like, leave me alone. Kick we done. Rocks. Bye. She kills herself. Right?
All right.
So, but of course, I think they end up maybe hearing about on the news that she had killed herself, maybe. Anywho, so this same night that all this stuff's supposed to have ended, this is the night that Nick slips away or gets free from the dude who had kidnapped him. So at this point, he had put two and two together on who would use his thing because the only person he told about that affair was this old lady.
Yeah.
So instead of going home to my wife and kids, who's probably looking for me crazy because they said I died online.
Too much like right. You got to go and confront back. Ooh, full circle. Confront. This is why you don't confront. I'm confronting
you at the police station. What are you talking about?
That's crazy.
So he goes to these people's house. She's like, oh, hey, Nick, come in. How can I? What's up? Blah, blah, blah. He's trying to confront her. Why would you do this? I trusted you, et cetera, et cetera. The husband is like, we ain't got time for this. he was in the back or something. He came in, seen Nick, seen everything that was going on, knew what was happening, killed the fuck out of Nick.
That solves everything.
Killed the fuck out of Nick. Move him wherever the fuck they're gonna move him, right? So now Nick is dead. He ain't even have to be dead. This is why the shit was just so dumb. Because I was actually okay with them having to be his coworker, like the man who befriended, who made it, it just everything seemed real fishy on his end.
Yeah.
I was okay with that. But y'all went way fucking left down the street, around the corner, up some hills, and around the back and pulled this shit out your ass. And I just thought that was just so far-fetched. Like, you ever see somebody make a story and you like, it started off good.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt.
Yep.
So then the crazy thing is, so I told you he had two kids. So the older son is the one who met the friend who's teaching him all the stuff on the tech. So that friend had sent the son a message and was like, hey, I figured out like she traced
the location, right? Or something like that.
The location and everything. So sent over the address. The younger son is the one who saw the address.
Yeah, Ethan.
So he's like, what the fuck? This child goes to the address, okay? So he goes to these old people house. Listen. He goes to these old people house. He get there and he realizes it's the lady from his daddy's job.
Yo, real quick. Would this been better if this family was black? Because then you could do the whole, like, black people don't trust police. They're going to try to get such a... These are white people, right? I'm talking about Nick is white. Adrian Grenier, he white.
And right, but they're mixed family. The kids are black and white, and the wife is black.
Oh, okay. All right. I knew Adrian Grenier was in the show. All right, maybe.
So the younger kid goes to the house. And he got a bat because he like, I'm ready to knock some heads.
Oh, yeah. He about to swing at some bullets. All right. I got you, fam. What this bat going to do?
So the old lady opens the door and she's like, what are you doing here? He was like, I was doing something. He changed like, oh, I think my brother was playing a trick on me. I was doing something and I was following the address and it sent me here. And they was like, it sent you to this address? Oh, my. Why would it send you here? Right. So they was like, well, it's late. Now, imagine this kid took like a Uber over there. Yeah. If you don't send this motherfucker back in the Uber.
Yeah, and I apologize. It was Kai. Ethan realizes that Kai was on his computer and Kai went over there ignoring messages from Ethan and Sophie. So now Ethan.
Yes.
All right, continue.
Because the shit blew me. So, ouch. So, what happened? Oh, so the kid get there. They was like, oh, let's get you in the house. It's so late. We'll take you back home. Do you want something to eat or drink real quick? First of all, this sounds like some Hansel and Gretel and this I want to eat jokes.
This one doesn't make any sense. This went from a couple who was like, yo, we have lost that burning feeling to now they're like murder family. Like, yo,
out of no fucking where.
All right, go ahead.
Out of nowhere. So the kid come in the house, but he likes something don't feel right. And in a way, the old lady looked at her husband like, we're going to have to take care of this. It's like, when did y'all turn into psychopaths? It's just really what happened. So they're like, okay, we're going to let you in and then we're going to take you home. He stayed in the house for a little bit. At this point, Sophie, Ethan, Pia, the police, everybody trying to figure out what his kid done went to, okay? Yeah. That's when Ethan found out that, oh, I think he went to this address. So now they're trying to shoot over to this address. At this point, the old couple has taken Kai out and they're quote unquote taking him home. However, you know they're not taking him home.
Yeah.
He like in the car, like, this is not the direction to my house. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, we'll get you there. Oh, if you don't duck and dip out this fucking car.
Let me jump in. This says Kai escapes the trailer, but is almost shot by Ed. The two of them chase after him where he attempts to hide in the stable. This stable's in Oakland. Where does Don live?
Okay, so here's the thing. they had like a secret farm space.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's where they hit the kid Nick, maybe? No, yeah, they killed him and then dumped him in some water. So I'm stupid. Anywho, they was taking the kids to that little special farm place. And they get over there and they got him in like the trailer. And she was like, we can't kill him. He a kid. And he was like, we can't, he gonna tell on us. Like, something got to give. The kid realized, I'm about to die, okay? Yeah. So he busts up out of there and he running. But you know, obviously when you're in a farm space, all the other farms are like an acre or five away, or a mile or two. So he running through just trying to find somewhere to hide. He finds these stables or whatever, hide in the stable. They're chasing after him. The husband thought he shot him, like he shot and he went down, but I think he just went down to fake it. Got up and ran. Yeah, he got up and ran into the stables. They're looking for him. He sneaks out of the stables. At this point, the police, Pia, the wife, all of them has found their way.
Yeah, Roshan and the police department arrive and begin to search the ranch. Hearing Sophie call out for him, Kai comes out of hiding but runs into Ed.
Yes.
Roshan and the police find Don and arrest her. While Ed, so why are they arresting Don? For like catfishing?
I guess.
Okay. While Ed holds Kai at gunpoint, Don convinces Ed to let Kai go, but Ed refuses to be arrested and forces the police to shoot. Oh my God. Him. In the aftermath, Sophie puts Nick's pictures back up now that it's clear that Nick has never cheated on her. At Nick's funeral, Roshan tells Pia that Tara has decided to press charges against Matt. We weren't using names, so I don't know who the fuck Matt is.
Matt was his partner who had the issue with one of the volleyball girls.
Oh, okay. All right. Sophie,
that's why they was assuming everything made sense with him.
Okay. Sophie stands at the entrance of the funeral feeling overwhelmed, but Pia manages to reassure her that they will get through this by supporting each other as a family. Fade to black.
Yes. let me tell you how it started out so well. And I know y'all know I gave y'all the ghetto version. It started out so well.
I'm still trying to figure out, like, what was the purpose of doing that ending? Could we still got to where we got to and these people, the bad people, just died? Or Wayne went to jail? Like, why do we need this ending? Like, yo, he got to die. Nick got to die, though. That's going to really get him over the top.
To me, that was Nick's own damn fault. Why would you go there? Go home. And then clear your freaking name. They don't have any proof that you killed anybody. That's the part that blew me. You have been kidnapped for 2 days and you finally get released. And your thought is to go to the people who staged again. My thought is to go see my kids and my wife.
Yeah. First and foremost, to let them know I am okay.
Collectively as a family can go to the freaking police station and figure this shit out. Now you dead.
Dead.
Make it make sense. I was so, and the crazy thing, the whole reason I watched this was people was like, oh, anybody watch Clickbait? It's good. Oh, what a twist of an ending. As if it was a good twist.
Dia said, I thought it was good. And she liked the twist. And then, here's the problem. The twist to me isn't him dying. The twist is, oh, it wasn't actually you. You was somebody being catfished. That twist I'm fine with.
Yes.
If you're saying that's the twist, I'm like, oh yeah, that's kind
of. I don't like the extremity of this twist. Like, okay, I don't like that this old lady was bored as shit, and this is what you decided to do. It to me felt like you didn't know where you was going with the show, and you was like, "Bae, yo, check it out. What if we did?" I'm sorry. I enjoyed the beginning of it.
All right, and Denise says she's still working her way through it, so hopefully you abide by the chapters and the spoilers, and you skip past this part.
I said spoilers before I started.
Before we get out of here, they're going to remake Whitney Houston's The Bodyguard.
With who?
According to Variety.
Why though? Why would you take it in the movie?
Matthew Lopez, the Tony-nominated playwright of The Inheritance, has been hired to write the new version of the film for Warner Brothers. So I don't think they have anybody. Nope.
Are people running out of ideas?
Clearly.
Was The Bodyguard a remake or was that original?
I think it was original.
Let me ask that first. Okay.
Yeah, that was original.
We running out of ideas. I have to ask these questions because a lot of our movies we be thinking is original and it don't be an original.
But remember, they kind of did with... shoot, I keep forgetting dude's name. The actor, Nate. He got in trouble. He was in, did he do a Nat Turner movie? What was that
name? Who this person?
Nate Parker, that's his name.
Oh, Nate Parker, okay.
What was that movie called? Shoot, we liked that movie and I never can remember the name for nothing.
I saw that had Nate Parker.
He played like this little bodyguard, Beyond the Lights. Was that it? Yes, it was. Oh, Mbathu Gaga or something like that. Google Mbathara. Yes, where she's like this Rihanna type singer, and he's protecting her. I was like, we already did this, and like they didn't remake it. They just told it a different way, and it worked. So yeah, go check out Beyond the Lights if y'all ever want to see.
And it wasn't called The Bodyguard. That's all I'm saying. You can have the same type of premise of a movie, make it. Why do you got to use the same title?
Yeah, and who's it going to resonate with? The movie came out in 1992. Like, who's going to be like, oh my God, I've been waiting for them to remake. Could The Bodyguard be remade as a 10 episode Netflix series?
No, don't do that to me. Before we go, did you check out the video I sent you?
No, but I was going to, like, that was in my show notes.
My bad. I didn't know.
Nope, I'm leaving all that in there that you just did that. Because I was like, do I have anything else? But usually I ask, what do you do this week? But round of applause. You launch your podcast. And I had the thing up here, so I didn't mess it up. Women context, cocktails and whatever. I was like,
messed it up.
Yeah, because you messed my rhythm up. I was like, type of person.
I didn't know you was going there. I'm sorry.
No, because I wanted you to let us, but everybody know how does it feel now that it's out? What can people expect? It's your time for you to promo your. Okay, she's just sitting there looking at me like, you didn't want to promo your. Okay.
How does it feel? Like, was the first question.
Got the episode out.
It feels nice because if you know me, it's to know that I do not like being on camera, and I am on camera.
I'm waiting for the Patreon people to like. So we've been asking for y'all just to record these, and I'm like, no, that's not me. Go ahead.
I feel a little bit more like I feel a little better. Okay. I think it was a successful first episode.
Okay.
It is on the YouTube. WCW Podcast is the channel name. And yes, you can type in WCW Women Cocktails and whatever. First episode, it is me and my homegirl, DeAsia, my co-host. And
the one who was pressing you like, yo, put the podcast out.
She really was. She really was.
Stop playing
was
games.
Like, what are you doing?
I'm trying to get famous.
Well, you know what? I don't want to be famous. But you know what? The first trial run episode, it had a little tech issues. It was a little camera focusing going on, a little sound going on. And she was still like, let's put it out. And I was just like, I don't want to. I would rather put out a really good episode. Like, why put out a 7 when you could put out a 9? So you know what I'm saying?
So this is take 2?
This is take 2.
Okay.
And I also liked the first one because I did it in a private link. I sent it to a couple of people to get their opinions, and they were much needed opinions to me. So I felt like when we went into this second episode, I was like, oh, this is the episode. Like, I felt it. Like, I understood the mission, the assignment, and we were here. And so I do think this was a very good episode. It is a good 52 minutes, so it's plenty for you to listen, talk to. It is a little girl chat-ish. However, I don't want to stay in that world just because I do pop culture and talks like that on all the podcasts, really. And so I want to make sure I mix it up. I feel like it's harder for women to have men listen to their podcasts if they're not like gay. You know, like, if that makes sense. I'm not trying to sound.
But I mean, yes, you're right.
I want to make sure the topics are men and women. I don't want it to seem very one-sided per se.
You don't want to focus too much. But here's the thing. You are in, if your predominant audience is women, that is way better than when your predominant audience is men, because women spend more.
I'm not mad about it, but I don't want people to be like, I don't want you to assume that you can't listen to it because there's two women.
It seems as if you're saying you don't want your podcast to be like, oh, that's a girly podcast. You'd be like, no, that's a podcast for everybody. Everybody can listen to this. It becomes difficult to navigate too in this world, because the podcast, quote unquote, that everybody can listen to when it's dominated by women are like sex heavy. So then yes. You're like, do you want to go that route? Because there's a lot in that pool too, where you're like, well, I guess we're gonna be talking about dicks and clits all day. And then you're
right. Like, I mean, I just want a variety of topics. Like, I don't want to stay in one thing, but I also don't want it to be very pop culture. Because again, I talk about that on two other podcasts. So I kind of just want to mix it up. Don't get me wrong, I do want some stuff to be a little girl related, because it's two girls. We're gonna talk about girl shit. But yeah. I just want to make sure that I don't stay in one area. I want to make sure I have a bunch of ideas.
And I like variety is the spice of life, is the saying. And it's not only good for your podcast, it's good for you that it's not three or four times a week you're repeating the same conversation. Because like we just talked about verses, and I brought this up a couple of weeks ago. It's rare that I have to double back, but obviously on Sunday I got to talk about verses. But I love the fact that three of the podcasts we do, I get to talk about different things, unless it's like a Beyonce.
Even with No Chill, I do feel like I have the same discussions with you over there too.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be redundant. Is that the word? Yeah. I want to be repetitive.
It's that, but it's also, that's all well and done if there's never any crossover. Like, if I knew, for instance, Studio Flow has their audience, Rundown has their audience, and Equal Opposites, oh, I can say the same things three times, and I'm like, well, nobody's in. But if I know that there's overlap, I'm like, I want to give y'all something else. Like, for instance, with the verses, we'll dig in a little bit deeper, and I'll play some, and we'll talk about what spun out of it as well. And we don't have to do that here, because we're like, all right, we can do something light and get into Ja Rule with the girly stuff and all like that. But it's for your sanity and for the audience sanity. Like, I've heard.
Yes.
Say that already.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I'll put the link in the group, I guess. If you guys want to check it out.
This week's episode in the show notes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I would love for everybody to go to it, subscribe, leave comments. Because I was reading up on the whole YouTube career life thing, and subscribers and the engagement is the important stuff.
Yeah. So smash that like button.
Smash the bells. Look.
Yo, I got
it. And then I was actually really proud of me. I had to get someone to help me with editing. And so they was teaching me a lot of stuff. And I felt like the video is edited well for like a first timer. So yeah, I'm actually really proud of this episode. I'm looking forward to the second one. And hopefully with each episode, we just get more and more comfortable.
That's the key. Like, you don't want somebody hopping in a year later to be like, is this their first episode? Oh no, this is episode 43. Like, yeah,
right.
To get better. I meant to grab these cards, because for the past, it might be a while now, if I go look up, Kanitha sent me her game, and I've been meaning to shout it out. Give me a second, because I do have it upstairs. Hold on. All right, I'm back. I believe it's a celebrity drinking game. Well, it's a celebrity guess who drinking game, and it's called Who This. She said thank you. So I don't know if she's selling this, but you can hit her up.
Can I see it? What's the game?
Because it's still shrink wrapped.
Oh, you didn't bust it open yet.
No, because I follow her, I saw her cards, and I was like, oh, okay. Let me see. I was like, can we play this on the pod? Will this work? That would probably be, we'll do a video for that. But I would say, I don't know how it works, if you could do it over video or you need to be in the same room. Let's see.
Bless it.
Now you're even looking.
Oh, I didn't know you was ready. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Pull it up.
So she has her logo on the back, because she has a podcast, nice. Kiki with Kenny, K-E-N-N-I and K-I-K-I.
Kiki with Kenny.
So how to play. You get five clues. You get a point for every unused clue with the correct guess. Everyone gets the first clue. As more clues are given, the game. So we can't even play this two people probably. You need like another person to be like the host. Given the game gets easier, this edition is dedicated to actors. Clues can be movie titles, quotes, life experience, movie plots, and even music. If you blurt out the wrong answer, take a shot. If you guess wrong or use all clues, take another shot. Blank cards are for you to add your own actors. includes, and she had to put the disclaimer because I wasn't going to sue Shorty, drink responsibly. Wait before we get into the game. We want to disclose that. Before we get into the game, we want to disclose that we do not promote binge drinking and advise our readers to always drink responsibly. So
tonight,
like,
we're getting fucked up. Okay.
So I've seen this. This is one card. I was prom queen in high school. So you know, do you know who that is? You need another clue?
Yes.
Okay. I would be happy if I didn't die another day. Fred and Barney would never bring on a storm. That's a reference to a character she played in that Flintstones movie. Losing Isaiah was hard, but I was able to boomerang back.
So Halle Berry.
Thank you. You okay. Was that three shots for you or two? Because I think you get the first one. All right. So I have not seen this one. It says, I was voted world's sexiest man. Let me cover this.
Idris Elba.
Well, I can't.
Was he voted world's sexiest?
I don't know.
Oh, like,
I know
he?
John Legend, maybe The Rock. So we'll need the second clue.
I forgot about John.
My favorite holiday is this Christmas. Was Morris Chestnut ever voted world sexiest man? Who's in this Christmas?
This Christmas.
Chris Brown wasn't voted.
I was going to say Chris Brown was in there.
Was he voted world sexiest man? All right, third clue.
I don't.
I'm not American, but I'm gangster. Oh, this must be Russell Crowe. No, because Russell Crowe is an American gangster.
Okay.
And the next one is, you can find. Nope, it is. You was right. You can find me. Wait, oh. Why you that throws you off, but she did say gangsta, not gangster. Yes, you can find me running things in Baltimore. So you was right. It was Idris Elba.
And I got it on the first one. Look at that.
Yo. The most regular clue was just voted for world.
Regular clue was the one. Everything else just solidified. Oh, he was in this Christmas.
Yo, I never seen this Christmas. So yeah. Who else is in this Christmas? Huh. Did he was an American accent in that too?
Yeah. Yo, can I get this game, Kidney? I feel like you got a favorite over here.
That's it.
I could play this on the show.
Yeah, you could. So she listens. She'll hit you up.
You know what? No, this would actually be perfect for the other show I'm about to create. I'm not going to say that one out loud yet, but you know about the premise of that show. So that would be perfect. Look at me over here being a little content creator.
Yeah, because I had ideas to be like, oh, you could flip it because I know the premise of your show. And I was like, oh, you should look through the cards and pick the cards that would go blah, blah. But then I was like, drinking? Yeah. And then I was like, oh, well, if people get the answer, then you got to drink as the host of the show. So you got to do that. All right. I think that's it. We don't care about the Met Gala. I like the fact that Keke Palmer showed us those plates and they were horrible. But other than that.
I did not see that.
Oh, they were bad. They were bad.
Also, I was off outfits alone. I was very confused at the theme.
It was American Independence.
Yes. So, and I was like, this means whatever.
Do whatever
yes,
you want.
Pretty much. Just to run off a few. What was Kim K doing?
Her Kanye.
I was confusion. Who did I like? I enjoyed Sierra's jersey gown with her husband's Super Bowl ring and the football clutch purse. I think that was a well put together concept.
Okay, I see.
Who else? Oh, first and foremost, Halle. Chloe looked nice, but it was Halle for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was all Halle for me. The legs, the little boobage, the face. Come on, ma'am. She said, hold on. Y'all gonna get these legs. Okay. Who else?
I sent
did
you
I enjoy?
The picture of the food. Y'all paying $30,000 to get in here for that food.
Ooh, baby. Okay, they gave you wedding food. Reception food.
Oh, I'm man, trying to think that of reminds
the outfits
me
that I enjoyed. What?
Yo, I meant to talk. We've talked a lot today, but I was something that makes me laugh that shouldn't make me laugh is the way y'all women's talk about married men. There was one woman who tweet. I saw somebody tweet, married men are interested in everyone but their wife. And I was like, I shouldn't laugh, but that shit is funny to me. Like, is it that bad? Do y'all really get, how many married men and are how many married men actually slide into DMs? One. And two, how blatant are they? Do they put husband in the bio? Like, or do you have to go through their picture like, yo, this is your wife, my guy. I see y'all. Like, this is, what are you doing? Like, how bad is it out here for y'all?
I can't say married men because.
But men in relationships. I don't think.
Yeah, but men in relationships in general? Trash.
Yeah, I'm out here.
Trash.
Out here living
trash. And the crazy thing is, you'd be like, I could have sworn I had seen you. And then when they slide and you question, you're like, let me just go double check. And you like, the last picture was me and Bae. And I know that people put on for the social media. It's like, nobody knows what's really going on in your life in a relationship or whatever. But don't be on here promoting goodness and then being my DM, okay? Because it was a time that it was happening so much. And I remember posting, the next dude in a relationship that hit me up, I'm telling you, girl, it stopped.
Oh, look at that. You should have like pinned that tweet.
It might have been maybe like one other person after that. But because stop treating these, anybody who's in a relationship aside and it's anybody's DMs, get out of the fucking relationship. Because clearly you're not happy there.
Yeah, and they like to do that, yo, the best time to look for a job is when you got a job. That's not the best time. You should jump from relationship to relationship. You probably need to deal with the baggage or what happened with that relationship to work on yourself. You should just jump from relationship. All right. That's it.
I don't like it.
Enjoy Hispanic Heritage Month. They just started.
Yesterday. They were litty downtown. They had like a pseudo fake parade. They had the Mexican flags on all their cars. They took over Michigan. And I was like, what is happening? I mean, I wanted to be lit with them because all I can think of, we do this shit. We be Juneteething and Black Lives Mattering some shit up. So I wasn't even mad at them. Celebrate good times. Come on.
Oh, and real quick, something reminded me of an episode we did a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about dating girls that was in gangs. So Freddie Gibbs, I don't know if you're familiar with Freddie Gibbs. He's from Gary, Indiana. He jumped on Drake's Champagne Poetry, and he called it Big Rabbit Poetry or something like that. And if y'all familiar with Drake's album cover, the emojis, well, Freddie Gibbs put bunny heads on it. So he had a subliminal towards Kendrick. So I put it in our group chat for our podcast. And the first thing Sarah said is, why is it bunnies? And all I could think about was like, oh, women don't really have to know as much about gangs. And I was like, well, he's a vice lord and the Playboy bunny is their logo. She's like, why? Like, don't ask me. The ears make a V. That was why. But yeah, Jermaine, my brother, was like, I'm surprised she didn't know that. And I was like, hey, look, listen, women don't have to navigate the world that some black men got to navigate. Like,
news to me. I didn't know that neither.
Yeah, we had to know what neighborhood you was in. And I would explain it to her. I was like, yeah, if they start saying Moe's, that's Blackstone's. If you see 4CH, uh-huh. Four Corner Hustle, like, you have to know these things. And Sarah was like, no, I didn't know this.
I knew my neighborhood and I knew what neighborhood not to be in.
Yeah. Listen, that's our basics. It's right there. That'll get you by.
But also, I feel like that it didn't really affect women as much as it did for men. So I just knew my neighborhood. And if I crossed the tracks, what neighborhood that was.
Yo, I'm on this message board and it says, why do men hate it when you ignore them? And I'm like, what species of person likes to be ignored?
Doesn't exactly.
Make any sense. You can tweet me at one or you can tweet Shell.
That's Sexy Shell. You can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on the Snappity Chat at iMiz with the Z Shell.
Make sure you follow the website 1515F. Check out the podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Support on Patreon. Until next time, I say peace. She says,
bye.